Well, good morning, everybody. We welcome everybody to our virtual service this morning. Mark Jones is going to be leading our service in a minute and giving us the message and also conducting communion at the end of the service. So just a reminder to everybody, if you wish to participate in communion, please do have bread and wine available for the end of the service. Today is Trinity Sunday. We all come together to worship together, to worship the fact that God is three in one. And in Luke chapter 3, it says, "The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form, like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased.'" A verse that confirms the Trinity to us. We're going to sing the hymn, "Before the Throne of God Above."
Tells me all.
Over to Mark, who's going to lead the rest of our worship for us this morning.
Good morning, everybody. I hope you can hear me well and see me. It's good to be with you once more, and it's good to be able to celebrate communion together later, so we'll be looking forward to that. So let's begin now with prayer. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you gather us together in the name of Jesus and by your Spirit, that we can be one as you are one in three persons, Father, Son, and Spirit. And although we come, as we do every Sunday, with different experiences, different histories, different hopes and different expectations, and we gather from our homes rather than joining in one place, we ask that you join us together as we seek to worship you, to seek your presence, and to share fellowship with one another. So we ask you to bless our time together. Bless each other and us as one body as we seek to worship you this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, as Adrian mentioned earlier, this is Trinity Sunday, the Sunday of the year where we celebrate God in three persons: a God of Father, a God of Son, and a God of Holy Spirit. You have to say, don't you, that all human descriptions of the Trinity are somewhat inadequate. We're just not able to grasp or fully understand this mystery. How can one God be in three elements? But we believe this to be true, in perfect relationship. And we have in front of us a picture of a prism. Adrian was looking this week for a picture of a triangular prism rather than a prism with a square base. So this is the best picture each of us have managed to come up with. But I had a picture in my mind when I was thinking about the Trinity earlier this week, of the prism being like a triangle, being something of three elements, But there's a fourth element as well. There's always the unseen side. And if we think of the three sides as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we might think of ourselves and our faith as the fourth side. And together, the white light is transformed into something beautiful, multifaceted, a rainbow of hope. God in three persons and our faith make something beautiful and hopeful. God in three persons and our faith joined together, beautiful things can happen. So just something to reflect on this morning as we move through our service. So it's time for our first reading, which is an Old Testament reading from 1 Kings, which Mary's going to bring us now. Thank you, Mary.
Good morning. Our story joins this this chapter where Elijah is fleeing Queen Jezebel's army, and he's run away to Mount Sinai, where he's hiding. And there he went into a cave to spend the night. Suddenly the Lord spoke to him, "Elijah, what are you doing here?" He answered, "Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone, but the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down their altars and killed your prophets. I'm the only one left, and they're trying to kill me. Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain," the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing. And then there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the soft whisper of a voice. Thank you.
Let's sing together, "All Heaven Declares the Glory of the Risen Lord."
Beauty of the Lord,
Graham's now going to read us a passage from Luke 24. Thank you, Graham.
Thank you. Jesus walks the road to Emmaus. Now that very day, two of them were on their way to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking to each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and debating these things, Jesus himself approached and began to accompany them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. Then they said to him, he said to them, "What are these matters you are discussing so intently as you walk along?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who doesn't know the things that have happened in these days?" He said to them, "What things?" "The things concerning Jesus the Nazarene," they replied, "a man who, with his powerful deeds and words, proved to be a prophet before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Not only this, but it is now the third day since these things happened. Furthermore, some women of our group amazed us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back and said they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of those who were there with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him. So he said to them, 'You foolish people, how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Wasn't it necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things written about himself in all the scriptures. Though they approached the village where they were going, he acted as though he wanted to go farther, but they urged him, 'Stay with us, because it is getting toward evening and the day is almost done.' So he went in to stay with them. When he had taken his place at the table with them, he took the bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. At this point, their eyes were opened and they recognized him. Then he vanished out of their sight. They said to each other, 'Didn't our hearts burn within us while he was speaking with us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?' So they got up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has really risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how they recognized him when he broke the bread."
Thank you.
So we hear that wonderful story of how at Emmaus Jesus was recognized when he broke bread. This happened after he was invited in, invited to stay, invited for that meal. And thinking about that story, it occurred to me to reflect with you today, how do we recognize the presence of Jesus in our everyday lives? Perhaps it is more often in the ordinary things like bread and in the whisper rather than in the storm. I think we recognize the presence of Jesus first and foremost because we have faith. It may be a faith which is fragile. It may be a faith which is bold and courageous. It may be a faith which is still growing and not fully formed. But we need faith to recognize the presence of Jesus. We need to want to connect, to be open, to invite him in as those disciples did on that day at Emmaus. And we need to be tuned in, like being tuned into the right radio signal, in order to connect. And I think too, we need to be prepared to see and experience him in unexpected places. That last hymn was filmed in a glorious setting of a cathedral. That might be the place for some people to recognize the presence of God. Sacred buildings often are. But it may also be in the cosmos. We saw some wonderful photos on the pictures that Adrian prepared earlier of the stars. That might be where we find Jesus. It may be in the ordinary things of life, like bread, like food and drink, that we see Jesus. We are living, aren't we, in a more and more virtual world as we experience this lockdown, which has been happening now for more than 3 months. And we are used to these virtual encounters with one another. I looked up the word virtual because I thought to myself, well, virtual to me means not quite there. Now, we virtually get somewhere, don't we? We use that expression sometimes. Virtual comes from the word truth. And one of the many meanings in the dictionary, one of the many references in the dictionary I found, was that it referred to the presence of Christ at Eucharist. An experience, a virtual experience, where we can see and hear one another, but we can't touch one another. And this perhaps is something like how God must feel most of the time. He can see and hear us. He can experience something of us. It's only through Jesus that he learned to touch us and to share our entire world. It is a virtual relationship we have with God. He's real, but he connects with us at a spiritual rather than at a material level. He's concerned for our physical well-being, yes, but the relationship is a spiritual one. I think finally we recognize the presence of Jesus in the kindness of others. Perhaps most of all, notably in the kindness of strangers. And I heard a story this week which touched me of an elderly gentleman who received a phone call out of the blue which happened to be what we might call a wrong number. But the lady on the other end of the phone decided not to put the phone down straight away. In a split second, she decided to keep the conversation going. And rather than it being a wrong number, it turned out to be a right number, because a friendship developed and she was able to support him by helping him with groceries and other necessities. Something which had happened by accident may have been a God incident rather than a coincidence. And it's examples like that that enable the kingdom of God to come a little closer. And for perhaps one of us to be the one who enables others to see and experience the presence of God. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the many ways that we can come to you and you can come to us. And we recognize that it's you that does all the work if we're open and we're accessible to you. Help us, Lord, to see you in many places, in the grand places of worship, in music, in the natural world, and in the everyday things of eating and drinking. Thank us, Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we too might enable others to experience your presence. We bless you and we thank you in Jesus' name. And so we'll sing again as we come to prepare for our communion. Jesus calls us here to meet him.
Jesus calls us here to meet him, as through word and song and prayer we affirm God's promised presence where his people live and care. Praise the God who keeps his promise. Praise the Son who calls us friends. Praise the Spirit who among us to our hopes and fears attends. Jesus calls us to confess him, Word of life and Lord of all, sharer of our flesh and frailness, saving all who fail or fall. To his holy human story, tell his tales that all may hear. Tell the world that Christ in glory came to earth to meet us here. Jesus calls us to each other, vastly different though we are. Creed and color, class and gender, neither limit nor debar. Join the hand of friend and stranger, join the hands of age and youth, join the faithful and the doubter in their common search for truth. Jesus calls us to table, rooted firm in time and space, where the church in earth and heaven finds a cause. sing, share the feast for saints and sinners hosted by our Lord and King.
That song was from the Iona community, and takes us beautifully into our time together. And I'll be using material from Iona as we share the bread and wine together. The invitation. The table of bread and wine is now made ready. It is the table of company with Jesus and all who love him. It is the table of sharing with the poor of the world with whom Jesus identified himself. It is the table of communion with the earth in which Christ became incarnate. So come to this table, you who have much faith, and you who would like to have more. You have been here often, and you have been not for a long time. You who have tried to follow Jesus, and you who have failed. Come, it is Christ who invites us to meet him here. And so we hear the story of the Last Supper. Blessed is our brother Jesus, who walks with us the road of the world's suffering, and who is known to us in the breaking of bread. On the night of his arrest, Jesus took bread, and having blessed it, he broke the bread and gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body given to you." In the same way, he took wine, and having given thanks for it, he poured it out and gave the cup to his disciples, saying, "This cup is the new relationship with God, sealed with my blood. Take this and share it. I shall drink wine with you next in the coming kingdom of God." And so we pray. Hear us, O Christ, and breathe your Spirit upon us and upon this bread and wine, that they may become for us your body, vibrant with your life, healing, renewing, and making us whole. And as the bread and wine which we now eat and drink are changed into us, may we be changed again into you, loving and caring in the world. And so I invite you to take the bread and to break it. This is the body of Christ. Feed on it by faith and with thanksgiving. So let's enjoy the bread. And so we take our wine. This wine is the new covenant, the new relationship with God through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. We drink to celebrate and to remember. Many grains were gathered together to make this bread. Many grapes were mixed to make this wine. So we who are many and come from many places are one in Christ. May the peace of Christ be with you. And so together we join in the prayer that Jesus taught us to say. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Time for our next song, as we sing together. Oh, sorry, we're going to have prayers from Catherine first. I beg your pardon. Catherine will lead us in prayer and then we'll sing our last song. Thank you.
Okay. The prayers of intercession have a normal response that we normally have throughout the prayer, and that is, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. So I invite you to join in with that. So let us pray. Dear Lord, we bind ourselves today to the strong name of the Trinity, and we name you three in one, one in three, and claim our place in your community of love. We are embraced, loving God, embraced in the community that is the heart, not just of our church, but also in the community that is the very heart of who you are, three in one, creator, redeemer, and giver of life. Within that great love, we are held and treasured. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for our hurting world, that war makers will find peace, that the hungry will find food, that refugees will find shelter, that injustice will be answered with all that is right and good. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who suffer, for those we love dearly, for those we barely know, for those whose suffering we have ignored. Be present in the healing touch of all hands that help the sick and the suffering, especially in these difficult times, as we live through coronavirus, and as we witness acts of protest against inequality that are happening around the world. Lord, send your spirit to comfort and protect all who need you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who struggle, for those who cannot see a way through broken relationships, difficult financial realities, emotional darkness, and deep, deep loneliness. May they find you even in the most hopeless places. May they find your people too in those places, bringing good news and hope to all who are longing for something new. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are joyful. We rejoice at the promise of new life and old lives made new. We remember the moments of blessing in our own lives, and we thank you for the opportunity to use our lives to your glory, to live lives that are full and worthy of your calling. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all whose hearts have been saddened by the death of someone close and dear to them, for members of our families who have died and whose anniversaries we recall. Help us to experience the comfort of the Holy Spirit within us. Jesus Christ is the light of the world, a light which no darkness can quench. You turn our darkness into light. In your light shall we see light. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we ask that you meet us on the road to Emmaus, guide us on the path toward our destination, and renew our strength as we continue to walk and commune with you. Open our eyes so we see the signs of your presence around us. Open our hearts so we may receive your peace and love, and empower us to pass on to others the grace you have shared with us so freely. We ask all of this, dear Lord, in your name. Amen.
Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart. Lord, be all else to me, save that thou art. Thou my best thought, by day or by night. Waking or sleeping, thy presence.
Thank you.
I'd like to thank all those who've participated this morning. Thank you to Mary and to Graham and to Catherine. Thank you for putting the technology together. I think the Zoom is too much input from all the unmuting going on. So we share the grace, which is a prayer of as we join together in these words to finish the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Have a good week.
Okay. Thank you, Mark.
Have a nice week, everyone.
A few notices before.
Thank you.
Is the fact that it's Paul Leeson's birthday today. So,
happy birthday, Paul.
And let us sing happy birthday together.
Happy birthday to you. I just wanted to let everybody know that Adrian has agreed to be a deacon of Kingsthorpe Baptist Church. So we've appointed him as an interim deacon for the time being until we can hold an official vote at the church meeting, which hopefully isn't too far away. In the meantime, I'm sure you'd all like to join me and the other deacons in thanking Adrian for all his hard work at the moment, organising the Sunday services and the prayer meeting every Monday, Wednesday and Friday, all starting at 11 o'clock if anyone would like to join. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you, Adrian. Thank you.
Thursday this week, the Methodists are organising a Zooming Together meeting at 7:30 in the evening. And if you want to know any more information and join with that, there has an email gone round. Equally, if you ask Reverend Francis, we have details for that. So now let us greet everybody, give thanks to everybody, go and enjoy the rest of our day. Hopefully it's $2 a day and the sun will come out at some point for us to enjoy in our gardens today. So thanks everybody for joining with us today.
Thank you, Mark. Bye bye.
I think Zoom meetings, you only go on for 40 minutes.